Good morning. Today is Friday, the day before. No, not actually, the Friday before Election Day.
That it is.
Yipers. Joining us this morning is Eureka City Manager Greg Sparks. Good day to you, sir.
Great to be here, Brian.
Yeah, boy, are you waiting for it to be Election Day, or are you waiting for Election Day to be over?
I'm ready for Election Day to be over, much like probably the majority of people are.
Yeah, I think you're probably pretty safe in that statement. All kinds of weird stuff. Our quote this morning comes from Cyril Connolly. Life is a maze in which we take the wrong turn before we've learned to walk.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've taken many of those wrong turns.
Yeah, I keep running into those walls, though, going a little too quick. I'd like to spend a couple minutes on the show today to talk about the difference between the ward and a citywide. And I know that you may or may not be familiar with the historical elements of it, of what where the city has been, but the structure of what the city is and what a decision one way or the other may mean. So is the city of Eureka a normal city? Charter, wards, mm-hmm. Is it a normal city? Do most cities get set up this way, or is this something that's evolved?
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily normal. I've worked in a lot of cities, and the more common structure, at least where I've worked, is a combination of ward and at-large seats. So, you might have, five ward seats and two at-large. Or if the mayor is elected from out of the council rather than at large, then it might be, four ward seats and two at large with mayor. So that's a fairly common even in, from small to medium-sized cities.
Some of the larger,
Absolutely. And but certainly this, this issue, is on the ballot because majority of the council asked to place it on the ballot, and it seems like it's kind of a divisive issue on the council, and it's become one of the an election issue, and
so what is the norm, whether it's wards or districts or whatever, for a city the size of Eureka to have wards, to have just X number of city council, to have the regional or the jurisdictional, or it seems like to me, what do I know, that somebody dropped all the options in the wearing blender, stirred it up a little bit, let it cool down in the fridge, rolled it out, heated it up, and this is what we ended up with. It doesn't seem clean one way or the other by mm-hmm. having the elections as they are, the wards as they are, everything as they are, and is there another city you're aware of that's structured the way Eureka is?
No, I don't know of one, but I haven't been really looking to see how some of the other.
You didn't do your homework for the show. Okay, fine.
I'm just what my experience has been more a combination ward and at large.
It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Greg Sparks. Greg, the concept of having an elected mayor versus an appointed mayor, mm-hmm. is that something that's commonplace?
Particularly in California, it's pretty common law, the charters in California, to have the mayor elected out of the council in council manager cities. Now, you know, different states have had different.
So one of
that.
The five, so to speak.
Right.
So it's a voting position rather than a tiebreaker.
Right. So that's not uncommon. But believe me, it's not uncommon to have the mayor popularly elected as well. So I've worked in one city where the mayor was elected from the council. And one of the things I liked about that was council tends to vote the person who, you know, really who's the leader within the council into that position. And when I was in Mountain Village, Colorado, had an excellent mayor, and then also had that ability to run a meeting. And that's an important aspect of mayor. I've seen in some communities, and you know, you see it on the Board of Supervisors chooses to rotate it. And I can see how that makes some sense, but some, you know, it's not always that some people are good at chairing meetings. So,
well, and setting agendas too,
that's
communicating
right.
with staff and all the background stuff,
mm-hmm.
the business side of it, so to speak. Well, and the thing I think, particularly for the smaller communities like ours, they're all part timers.
Absolutely,
well, theoretically,
yeah,
they're part timers. That you know, but if you get retired timers. They tend to turn these things into full-time jobs. If you're of a particular personality style.
Yeah, I had a mayor one time who was his own small business, and we always knew when if his business was doing real well, we didn't see much of him, and if things were a little slow, he was in the office a lot. And we always thought, boy, we need to get him some more business.
Yeah, a little economic development here.
Yeah.
Yeah, and certainly being retired or not being retired is not a qualification or a dismissal for running for office.
No, and certainly the preference is that you have some kind of a balance within your council. You don't certainly don't want all retired people on the council, but it's also nice at times to have some who's available to go to, you know, that meeting in the afternoon and so if everyone, you know, is a regular 8-to-5 job, it can be hard to pull that. But I think we've had that balance on this council and I think that'll continue with the next council as well, kind of a combination.
Does it matter from staff perspective if folks are new to a community, if they've been here for a while, if they're 15th generation, I mean, if the community is one of those that's been established that long, or 3 or 4 generation, does that change things, make things more challenging one way or the other? I mean, you have a know-it-all. That's not going to help you out too much either. In that equation, do you cringe with a certain profile, or does it just kind of happen?
You know, I'm thinking through the council members I've known over the years, and totally taking Eureka out of that context. I've seen great council members who are, like, say, 3rd, 4th generation in a community, and I've seen some who, you know, more, you know, there in the last 10 years who are in business or you know, job brought them to a community and just as effective. So again, I think it's nice to have some balance. And we find the thing, I think the same thing staff wise, you like to have people who have institutional knowledge and remember some of those things that, you know, were done 20 years ago, but at the same time, you know, new people who bring in new perspective, as long as you aren't always reinventing the wheel, that's what you want to avoid. But it's also easier to make changes in an organization if it isn't everyone who's been there for 20, 30 years.
Yeah, if you're the change-er.
That's right.
You run into a couple of those walls we were talking about earlier.
Right.
Running into them in the maze, yeah.
And certainly they're probably the least favorite thing you could ever say to me or probably about any city managers, well, we tried that before, you know. Okay, you may have tried that before, but there's also different ways of doing things.
Not in my town. What?
I mean, really want to be a constantly improving, evolving organization. And, you know, and I think from city council's perspective, that ability to represent the community interests, that's certainly what I'm, you know, looking for as a staff person, as someone who comes and brings those community interests to the table. That's the most important aspect.
With a community of 30,000, What is the recommended number of city council? I'm thinking you could get 3, 5, 7, 9, 29. I mean, there's flexibility, certainly. But for something as small as us, what, San Francisco's got 9?
You know.
And we've got 5? It seems like the ratio's a little out of whack, if there is a ratio.
You know, typically in town, it's going to be 5 to 7. And you talk about San Francisco having 9. Just give an example. In Wisconsin, a city our size could have 13 council members. There seem to be a lot of cities in Wisconsin who have these large city councils. And I've always thought, don't ever want to apply for a job in Wisconsin.
Well, you could hack off more people and still be employed.
Yeah, but I tell you, it's a lot of relationships to manage. I think 5 to 7 is typically what you're going to see.
With an elected mayor, separate? Or drawn from the pool?
Either way, right.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30. We'll be back with more from Greg Sparks.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Greg Sparks. Greg, I know you and your bride do a lot of walking in the neighborhoods.
Right.
What is your sense of Eureka? Not as title, not as driving around in the city vehicle during the daytime, but as citizens of the city. Do you feel change? In Eureka, just as a citizen of?
Boy, that's a loaded question. It actually reminds me of about the first time we ever met, and I was on this show, and you talked about, boy, I want to get your perspective before you've been here a while, and you know this stuff just, you know, you get used to all of it. I do try to probably get out and walk about every night, and it's. And you see I wouldn't say there's been any, in a sense, significant change in the 2.5 years I've been here. I mean, it's not like, all of a sudden we're seeing people trim their gutter weeds more than what it was.
Right, it would be the subtleties.
Those physical things. It's not like, you walk down a block and go, here's some new construction going on that, you know, we've been a pretty built-out city. You know, there have been some pockets of some new construction, and that has been good. But I think probably from some of those visuals from walking around, one of the things I think has made an impact was, the panhandling ordinance that council approved earlier this year. You don't see near the amount of that going on. You know, as you know, it used to be there at the Costco corner and up in, you know, Eureka Natural Foods and McDonald's and all these places in front of Bayshore Mall, kind of that constant in-your-face panhandling. And so that has been, I think, a pretty strong visual change. And believe it or not, I think we've actually seen a reduction in shopping carts left all over the place. So I think that has been kind of a positive, but I think there's one of the things I've been trying to actually have a better understanding of is kind of where the community values are, what it takes to build community. And I don't think I necessarily understood this at, when I was a younger city manager. And it was easier for me to have a handle on that when I had a son in school and I was at all this, you know, school events and, you know, church events and things like that. And so
you're more exposed.
Right.
To different groups
and
of
right.
folks.
And yeah. I was coaching Little League and those kind of things. And saw how community comes together around your school or around, you know, number of other things within the community. And quite frankly, I had a little bit of this conversation yesterday with our committee that put together the Neighborhood Watch Block Party, because those are community-building type events. And I think we always need to try to make it easy for the community to come together. So it isn't at a time when, gee, we had an earthquake tsunami and want people to come together. It's things like Arts Alive and it's a concert series in the summer that bring a lot of people together from different socioeconomic backgrounds where people really feel that this is their community. And I think when you have people who get engaged in the community that way and then they volunteer, whether it's at their Boys and Girls Club or a church activity or something else, I think people have much more buy-in in their community and are invested. And I think that's where, not that we can drive that as a local government, but we can help with that.
And the flip side, you can muck it up real quick.
Boy, we can probably muck it up. That is right.
So yeah, there's what you do and what you don't do is part of that.
But,
yeah, I would think it is difficult to get that community ownership culture
mm-hmm.
started if it's not there. If it's there, yeah, sure, momentum's easy to maintain. With the announcement or the determination earlier this week about the roving homeless park camp and thinking about...
Right. Figured we'd get around to that.
Well, as we're talking about the community stuff, yeah. that's going to change things. I don't think anybody knows how,
mm-hmm.
but I think it will. As we've seen folks that weren't normally on the east, I guess is what we call it, of Eureka, we've seen them as things have changed over the past year. Do you anticipate anything with this, or is it going to be more of a reaction to where things shift, where they go as this gets implemented?
What we've seen so far from, you go back to, you know, May 2nd when we did the vacation from the marsh. We could call it eviction or whatever, but
How about recovery of the marsh?
Recovery of the marsh. And, you know, prior to that, we had 200 people or so living in there, long-term encampments. And a lot of the concern when we did that, boy, that's just going to make all those 200 scatter. And in some cases, some went to Pine Hill area. Probably some went to Samoa. We've heard complaints from Arcata and McKinleyville.
Fortuna, McKinleyville, yeah.
of course, we would say some of those from Fortuna had come to Eureka. Yeah. And I don't think we saw as much problem from dispersion as we thought we necessarily might see from that effort that pushed that illegal camping out of there. Because, you know, the Betty Chin Blue Angel Container Village was created, that 40 people that at a time, and Betty's been able to get people into housing. But we created the temporary sleeping area knowing that not everybody was going to be able to get housed. And we had probably about as many as 40 people a month or so ago. The numbers have been down a little bit. We've seen typically 16 to 30. They were problematic during dry weather times, and here after in the last 3 weeks with the rain, they just, you know, people didn't want to leave during the day, you know, days are shorter, and but quite frankly, the complaints we had from business community of all the break-ins within those areas, violent confrontations with their employees at times, with transients back and forth from the that's really why Chief Mills and myself really made the decision this week that okay, we're going to close this. And I believe that, you know, the shelter crisis resolution gave the city manager that authority, certainly informed the council we were doing this. But one of the big complaints from, I think, some of the homeless advocates was, well, gee, the city council didn't act on that. You know, this wasn't a city council action, wasn't done at a council meeting. The chief and I felt this was a public safety issue and made the decision.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:43. We'll be back with more from Greg Spark.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. Just a minute and a half left of this pure pleasure with Greg Sparks.
Well, you know, it's been a while since I've been here. I think
yeah, I know. You keep sending all the second team in, you know, as you're out doing stuff. What do you anticipate from the election next Tuesday? Do you think we're going to get a 50% turnout in the city of Eureka to make the determination on the ward seat or not? Do you think it's going to be a third, somewhere in between? What are you expecting?
Well, I think it'll be a pretty good turnout. I mean, I think this is a kind of election that's going to bring a lot of people out. Gosh, there's a lot of important issues on. I mean, from the president on down, and I, like everybody else, had to pull out the big book to figure out how I'm going to vote on these, you know, these propositions.
Isn't it amazing how many and the poundage?
Well, the thing is, you know, we've all watched TV. You get pounded on about a couple of them, but a lot of the others, it's like, okay, condoms for adult films. I haven't been keeping up on that one.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I bet you, and it's kind of frightening, but in Humboldt County, how few have read 64?
I bet that's right.
And we just don't understand. Well, it's not going to do what? Oh, really? Okay. Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But I doubt if many will take the time either. Hope it goes the way you want.
Well, I'm sure it will on some and others.
Yeah. I see. You're already resigning. I'm looking for a clean sweep on the Papstein ballot.
Okay.
We'll find out how accurate that is or not. Thanks for coming by, Greg.
Thank you.
Join us Monday morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Excellent. Y'all. See you then.